and welcome everyone to the beginning of the three-day Mahotsava Festival of the Holy Name. So, I was asked to begin the program with a class on the glories of the Holy Name. Ajanu lambita bujo kanakama taksa sankirtanai papitaro kamalaya taksa vishvam varo dvicha varo yuga dharma falo vande jagatriya karo karuna avataro Sri Krishna chaitanya pravita ananda si advaita gadadhar sivasati gora bhakta vrinda Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
There are many verses throughout the scriptures, the revealed scriptures, such as Srimad Bhagavatam, many of the Puranas. Of course, Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of verses glorifying the efficacy, the exclusive position of Krishna's holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is the age of Kali. It's an age that is characterized by many materialistic characteristics that are, when we say, very bad. It's a bad age. It's not a good age. It's an age that is full of cheating, lying, hypocrisy, and so many other, when we say, negativities that make not only spiritual life impossible, but even civilized and moral material life has become somewhat conspicuous by its absence. It's a bad age. It's not getting any better either. At least in certain areas. But Kalaya Dosi Nidhi Rajan Asti Eko Mahagunaha Kirtana Vakrishna Siyam Mukta Sangam Yana Vajan. This verse is spoken by Srila Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Pariksha. Kalayar dosha nidhi, ocean. It's a dosha nidhi means ocean of faults. This age is characterized by so many faults. Now Sukadev Goswami is speaking this approximately a little less than 5,000 years ago. So he's already given the prediction of this age. And even when Krishna left the planet at the end of the Dwarpa Yuga, the signs of Kali Yuga were quite prominent. In fact, as soon as Krishna departed, Kali raced in to make his performance. And he hasn't left yet. And he's really got a good show together. And he's inviting many, many other actors to perform with his program. And so this verse was spoken so long ago, so it's a prediction. And as we study the Puranas, many of the Puranas predict that this age will be so bad that at the end of the age of Kali, after 432,000 years of Kali Yuga, which is the shortest of all ages, people will live maybe 20 years, 25 years. Since a person lives 20, 25 years, they'll be a grand old man, a grand old lady. So bad. We can't even imagine. And it's described in the Kalki Purana and other places, the Linga Purana, the Bhavishya, not the Bhavishya Purana, Linga Purana, the Shiva Purana, and the other Puranas, of the climate of this age. But this very verse spoken by Srila Sukadeva Goswami gives great hope for this age. In fact, this age, although it's so bad, by one's experience we can see it, and of course by the words of the sadhus, the words of the shastras, there's a bright light, and it's so bright that it can completely overshadow all the darkness that Kali is ushering in. It's really a bright light. It's a powerful light. It's so bright that it makes it changes Kali Yuga into Satya Yuga. It's so bright. And that is the descent of the Holy Name. Kalir Dosha Nidhi Rajan Asti Echo. He says Asti Echo. There was one great boon. Asti means, Echo means one. Mahagun, he says Mahagun. He doesn't say Gun. Gun means boon. But he says Mahagun. But the boon is so great that it cannot be compared to any form of mercy that has ever been given before by the Lord. And what is that boon? Kirtana Eva Krishnasya. That by performing, chanting the glories of the Lord in the form of His name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukta Sangam Param Vraja. That one can be fully purified of all the effects of all sinful activities, from past, present, completely. All the sinful activities that one has committed in the past, and one is committing in the present, one can be removed from all tinges of any form of contamination, and one can enter fully, not partially, but fully, into the highest realm of spiritual existence, simply by this process of Harinam Kirtan. This is just one verse. The verses go on. It's like a grand celebration of expression of the glories of the name. So powerful. It is said that this age, although it's so bad, the demigods, the devas, those who stay in the higher planets, they are lining up. Some of them, not all of them, because there's unlimited demigods, but they are lining up to take birth in this movement. Why? Because of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. So although there is so much inauspiciousness, so much negativity, so much what we say bad materialism, not just materialism, bad materialism. Still, this one light is so bright that it actually makes Kali Yuga a great place to be. It actually changes the whole scene. Because in other ages, there are other ways of self-realization. Satya Yuga, meditation, Treta Yuga, and its costly Vedic sacrifices. Dwarpar Yuga, very elaborate and gorgeous, and very, very intricate forms of deity worship that we cannot perform in this age. So all these different, what we say, means of self-realization were given according to the climate of the age, the people's mentality, and the nature of the age. And now we have the most, what we say, difficult age, and the greatest of all boons has come. Krishna in the form of this name. Namas Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnya Sudya Nitya Mukta Vinna Tvam Nami Namino. I'll read the translation from that. That's from the Padma Purana. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it's Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete. It is the form of all transcendental metals. It is not a material name under any condition, and is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by material qualities, there is no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Nami nam nam binnatvam nami nami nam. He who is named and the name itself is not different. That's very difficult to understand. In fact, it's not possible to understand it. How can the name be as powerful and as great as the Krishna himself? But it is. It is. It's non-different. So to approach Krishna in the form of his name is like approaching Krishna directly. But because there is so much mercy, Lord Chaitanya's mercy is so powerful and so, what we say, available. Not just powerful, it's available for everyone and anyone. See, Lord Chaitanya wants to do one thing. He's an amazing personality. I can't really describe his qualities, but one of the amazing things he wants, he's trying to get everyone in check. His program is to get everybody. And he's thinking how to do it. And Lord Nityananda is the programmer. Mm-hmm. And he's running in different places, setting up the arrangements to get somehow or other everyone to be able to chant the holy names. Even once, they can chant. So Lord Chaitanya has made it easy and available. And the glories of the holy name, which we're trying to explain it, but we can't, are as glorious as Krishna himself. In fact, here is something, and here's an amazing statement. The name of Krishna is more merciful than Krishna. It's a fact. And the Shastras confirm it. And if you, somehow or other, in the course of your devotional activities, you commit an offense to Krishna, you can get relief from that offense by chanting his name. So, by chanting the names of Krishna, we can get free from the offenses that come by way of offending Krishna, and no other way. So the name is actually more merciful than the person who is being named. This was brought out by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Namastakam prayers. So, what do we have in this? We have the most valuable and precious jewel that can be possibly understood. You can't trade this jewel, you can't match it, you can't understand it. It is so great that even the most sinful, the most despicable, the most unqualified, the most, what we say, demoniac living being can become a pure devotee simply by chanting like Krishna. There's no sukriti that's required. There's no past pious activities or position within any aspect of material society that is a requirement. In fact, if you have these things, a lot of position, power, prestige, you may be a little bit disqualified. Because if you don't have any of these things, you're more qualified to chant the holy name. Not necessarily, but that's the tendency. Is that Lord Chaitanya's name and mercy flows down to the most, what we say, unqualified. Because those who are unqualified, they start to understand, well, maybe I can't do anything. And by having that mood, then the name really enters more into that person's life. So one of the qualities of chanting the holy names of the Lord is to realize you're unqualified to chant. That's the qualification. Sounds quite contradictory that being unqualified is qualified. But that's the qualification. Just feel yourself unqualified. And that way the mercy comes more and more like that. So let's speak a little bit about the glories of the Holy Name. Because one of the factors to understand in this whole process is that by understanding what you have, you have greater appreciation. I'll give you an example of a person who doesn't know how to appreciate something. It's a little story. Would you like stories? Start off with a story, that way maybe everyone will wake up. A little story. It's a nice story. I heard this by one of my senior god brothers. He's from South India. His name is Atmatattva. And he told this story. Once was a man walking along the street, and he came across some gold. Somehow or other, he found this huge lump of gold, rock size, big. So he was thinking, oh, how fortunate I am, I have this gold. So what can I do with it? Well, I have to protect it, I have to guard it, I have to somehow or other, you know, save it. So he decided to hide it. So he went into the forest and he dug a hole in the ground. And he placed the rock in the hole. And then he covered it up. Now to realize or to always remember his good fortune, what he would do is every day at the same time, he would leave his home, go to the forest, dig up the rock, look at it, and think how fortunate he is, put it back in the ground, and then cover it up, and then go back home. And this went on every day. He did this for a long time. One day, one man started to notice this person was doing, he was going and coming the same way every day. Let me follow him. So he decided to follow him. And then he was hiding, watching, and then he saw, oh, this man has some gold. So when he dug it up, put it back and left, this other man came along, dug it up, and placed a rock in place of the big lump of gold, took the gold and left. So, the next day, a man came out, dug his hole in the ground, and picked it up and realized it's been stolen. He was so mortified. Oh, my gold, it's gone. Oh, no. He was just lamenting and crying. And he was just totally devastated. So there was one sadhu there who had happened to be living in the forest, and he had seen this man coming every day. And he said, hey, Baba, what's wrong? He said, oh, I had some gold, and somebody has stolen. He said, no, I've been watching you every day. It's no problem, actually. You just do the same thing. You just come, you just dig up the rock, you look at it, you put it back, and then you go home, and then you can come back every day to the same thing. There's no problem. Nothing is lost. Get the point. Man's a fool. He had something really valuable, but he didn't know how to use it. And therefore, all he could do was appreciate it, but not really use it. So the Holy Name is available. So we have to take shelter always of the Holy Name. So the glories of the Holy Name, which are permeated throughout the scriptures, teach us how to really understand what we have. Krishna's name is Krishna. There's no difference. If we have a little understanding of the glories of Krishna, then we can have a little bit of understanding of how glorious Krishna is in the form of his name. We always say this verse, Harinava, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalam Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyatra. Why does the verse speak three times, Nasteva, 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 Harinava, Harinava, Harinava? There's a reason why. Because in Vedic, philosophical understanding, a principle. When something is said three times, it means no other way. So when you say, well, no other way, well, maybe there's another way. No other way? Could there be another way? No other way. Okay. That means there's no other way. It's clear. Thrice means emphasis. Thrice means complete. That is the Vedic culture in terms of giving us an understanding. So that verse from the Brihat Naradiya Purana was spoken by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself just to emphasize the principle that there is no other way in this age. But let me divert a little bit away from the principle of the glories of the Holy Name and pose a question to all of you. Think about this question. If there's no other way, then why don't we just chant all day? Why do anything else? Why read books? Why have temples? Why, you know, perform, you know, certain austerities? Why do all these other things? What's the purpose of all this other activity? If let's just chant Hare Krishna. That's the glories of the Lord in the form of His name. That's all we need. But to chant the holy names of the Lord, one has to be able to purify their consciousness in such a way that they can approach the holy name. The holy name is Krishna. And if we're still affected by the modes of passion and ignorance, ignorance means complete illusion. Passion means partial illusion. And goodness means somewhat of enlightenment. So it's emphasized that coming to the mode of goodness is required in order to approach Krishna in this name. And coming to the mode of goodness means to purify ourselves through these other programs of worshipping the Lord in His deity, understanding philosophical teachings that are centered around the practice of devotional service, and performing some little austerity. That means some denial of some bodily pleasures, bodily habits that have been so much with us for so long. By doing that, we restrict the negativity and allow our consciousness to go to it. And then, as we're chanting the holy name, the holy name comes in at all points. In fact, that's the beginning. But in the beginning, we're chanting with offense. And chanting with offense means getting very, very little benefit from chanting. And that's why every day in our temples, in most temples, we recite the 10 offenses. Because these 10 offenses are like warning signs. You're on the road, you're driving your car, or you're walking, either one, you're on the road, and you'll see a sign that says, you know, construction, slow down, right? Or detour, you know, go to this side. Or danger, bumps in the road. Yeah. So there's a warning signs while you're going on the path. So the offenses are the warning signs. They tell us what to avoid. Because by not avoiding the offenses and chanting the holy names of the Lord, we're getting very, very little from that mercy. So therefore, that's why Srila Prabhupada, very, very regularly, every time he gave an initiation ceremony, he would always have the 10 offenses recited. Practically every time. Maybe a few times he didn't. But most of the times, he always had the 10 offenses recited. Because when one takes initiation, one is getting the mercy of the spiritual master, and one can begin spiritual life and practice chanting what we say in a very regular and a very progressive way. But one must avoid what we call the offenses to the holy name. There's one verse that is written within the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that if one is infested by the offenses to the chanting of the holy name, one will not get the mercy of the holy name, even if one chants for millions of lifetimes. So, do this, don't do that. I don't want to scare you, because this is a very nice program, but you should also know what to avoid. Therefore, these 10 offenses are like something we should memorize and something we should also understand carefully. I could go into the 10 offenses. I don't know if I have a whole lot of time to do that, because each of the ones take, what we say, some time to really explain, but I'll mention them really fast, just so you get an overview. The first offense is to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives to the propagation of the holy names of the Lord. That means don't criticize Vaishnavas, especially those who are living simply to preach the glories and spread the holy name. But don't criticize any Vaishnava, no matter who he or she is. That way you're always safe and in the best possible position. Don't find fault. That's the first verse. The second one, demigods like Brahma and Shiva, they're great controllers, and they're very powerful personalities who have great responsibility, but they're not the Supreme Lord. The devas are, what we say, limbs of the body of the transcendental form of the Lord. And therefore, they are used by the Lord to perform very important services to the living entities. And we honor these devas, but we don't put the devas on the same level as the Supreme Lord. That is an offense. That is a big offense. Because Ekala Isha Krishna Asa Brita, there's only one Master Krishna. Ete Cham Sampalam Pumsam, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. That Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all incarnations and all energies of the Lord are simply expansions of Himself. Therefore, we can honor other great personalities such as Brahman, Shiva, and others, but we cannot worship them on the same level. Worship is meant for Krishna. That's explained in Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, verse number 47. The difference between honoring great soul, great personalities, and worship. Worship means expression of the heart. And that is for Krishna, the Supreme Lord. The third offense is to disobey the instructions of the spiritual master or to minimize his position. The fourth, there are many literatures that are not pure literatures, but they're in pursuance of the pure teachings. One should not find fault with them. One should not find fault with them. You should understand literature in connection to its what it is trying to express. Not all literature is pure literature. So we should know the difference between pure devotional philosophy and devotion that's next. So there's others in pursuance, but we don't criticize them or find fault because they're not pure devotional, pure literature. Because they're in pursuance of the goal. The fifth offense is to think that to be the glories of the Lord are just some imagination. Just like I just mentioned, that the name of Krishna is more powerful than Krishna. So you'll think, well, that's just nice. Maharaj is just saying that so we can chant. He's really trying to get everyone to agree with him. So he's just saying all these nice things. Or you might think, well, the Shastras are just aligned that way. But actually, it's not like that. It's just to get you to chant, really. That's what it's all about. So they kind of like, it's a hyperbole. It's an over-glorification. No, actually, it's not. It's an under. Because you can't glorify the Lord's name enough. It's impossible. Even the Lord chants his own name. That's how glorious it is. So to think it's an imagination or over-glorification is really an offense. And the sixth is to give some interpretation. Well, chanting Hare Krishna is like a good prasad, some good prasad. Compare it to anything. It cannot be compared. Well, you know, you chant Hare Krishna, and, you know, I do my yoga, and we both get something to, you know. It's not the same. Or to interpret it in different ways. Hare Krishna is like this or like that. It's not, cannot be compared, cannot be interpreted, cannot be relegated to anything. It is exclusive, it is glorious, it is beyond all, what we say, interpretations. The seventh offense? Okay, now I have the key. I can go out and have some sinful activities. I can do some intoxication. A little onions and garlic doesn't hurt once in a while. You know, it's good for the health. But if one is thinking I can do something against the Shastras and the Holy Name will relieve the reaction of my offense, that is called Nam Nam Hi Papa Bala Papa Budhi. That is called the greatest sinful mentality. It's called the cheating mentality. That I can do something sinful and get the reaction swiped away by chanting Hare Krishna. It doesn't work. Krishna is not a fool. He doesn't allow it to happen. So, we should avoid sinful activities very carefully. If one slips by accident, that is different. Then one can get up and chant the Holy Name and be free. But intentional sinning will not be able to get the mercy of the Lord, if one knows. The eighth offense. Oh, you do your homas, I do my pujas, he does his ratas, he does his worships, and you do your chanting, and it's all the same. To connect any of these other forms of spiritual, or we say elevation, and compare it to the glories of the Holy Name is an offense. These other activities fall into the category of karmakanda. They're mentioned in various parts of the Vedic literatures. And they're recommended for, what we say, a slight elevation for persons who are attached to pious activities, and elevation to better material situations. But they are not the goal. They are not, they cannot be compared to the chanting of Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. So the name is exclusive, cannot be compared to any other form of religious practice. The ninth offense is to teach the glories to the Holy Name to those who are inimical or don't want to hear it, offensive. If you're trying to glorify the Holy Name and someone is not interested, better not to push it. They may commit an offense, and if they commit an offense, then that blocks their spiritual progress. So better don't cause anyone to be offensive by forcing them. And you can always say kindly and very intelligently encourage people to take up the chanting of the Holy Name like that. And one should not speak about the higher mellows of spiritual practice of the residents of the spiritual world and trying to induce someone to chant the Holy Name based on these types of explanations. Prabhupada used to say, chant and be happy. So I tell people, you want to be happy? You want to be free from stress? Chant Hare Krishna. And the tenth offense is, I've heard so much, I'm practicing, I'm still attached to material life. That's the tenet. After hearing so many instructions, one still is determined to try to find pleasure through material activities. Material activities are necessary in order to keep the body and soul together. But we are not a spiritual. We are not a material being, we're a spiritual being. So maintenance and requirements is not the source of happiness. Happiness is coming by way of the soul's relationship with the Lord. So therefore, take care of your bodily activities, and whatever they are, as a duty. But do our happiness and our progress in life is based on our chanting of Hare Krishna. The 11th offense is chant attentively. You're going to have a good chance to practice that. You try to somehow or other keep your attention on the holy name. That's why we do these programs to, what we say, accelerate our abilities for hearing and chanting, to go deeper into the glories of the holy name, and to somehow or other challenge our restless mind to say, here, let's do it. Forget about everything else. Let's just chant Hare Krishna. 32 rounds. That's easy. 32 rounds is nothing. How many hours is that? 4 hours the most. Maybe 4.5 for those who are a little slower. But 64. Prabhupada, when Prabhupada started the movement, he said 64 rounds a day. 64 every day. The Lord said, Prabhupada, impossible. We've got so many things to do. How are we going to be able to find time? Prabhupada said, considered what they said, was actually Mukunda in speaking that. And Prabhupada said, alright, 32 rounds. And still, the devotees were not willing to accept. So Prabhupada said $16. No less than 16. But what is the actual instructions of the spiritual master? The instruction is 16 rounds minimum. That's the instruction. Chant 16 rounds as a minimum. But 16 rounds on the beats, innumerable rounds off the beats. In other words, always chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But if you have time, chant more on the beats. Because, again, a little diversion. One time we were doing this japa program, we call it Japathon. There's one temple in America, it's in Boise, Idaho. They tried to get 1 million names for that day. So anybody comes, devotees chant not so many rounds. So the goal is to get 1 million names combined. So devotees chant sometimes 36, 40, 50, 60, 80, 120. So one devotee chanted 70 some rounds, and 75 rounds. And he said, his realization was, wow, I didn't know the name was like that. And when you're chanting 16 rounds, sometimes you're thinking, oh, it's nice. When you really, really start to dive deep with intensity and determination to chant with attention, and all of a sudden the magic of the holy name starts to be real. Because Krishna is really just seeing how enthusiastic we are to really want the mercy. So these opportunities that we create in the form of these festivals are chances to really get a taste for the chanting of Krishna's name. And that's what we want. We want to taste it. We have Bhadavari Prabhu here, and he'll help you taste it through his very wonderful and very devotional kirtans. So the kirtans will be there, and the chants for japa will be there. So do two things this thing. One is focus exclusively on chanting as much as possible, and two, don't talk about anything else. Forget about what's going on wherever everything else is going on. Just leave aside all the other things that you normally do and just think about the holy name and chanting and devotees and association like that. Make it a focus just for these 3 days. And believe me, nothing, you won't miss anything. You won't miss a thing. this focus completely on this opportunity to take the shelter of Krishna's name. Okay, so the glories of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya, he gives 8 verses, which are called Sukshastakam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very interesting, very nice explanation of these 8 verses in 2 books, Bhajana Rahasya and Harinam Chintamani. These 2 books really go deep into the philosophical understandings of the glories of the holy name, especially in relationship to these 8 verses. These 8 verses are so multifaceted that they relate to all aspects of spiritual life. They are the processes of themselves, and they're the means to achieve the goal. They're the means to achieve the goal, and they're the goal themselves. Both of them. I call it the sadhana and the sadhya. The practice and the goal in these 8 verses. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that these verses, the Sukshastakam prayers, the first verse is Hare Krishna, the second verse is Hare Krishna, the third verse is Krishna Krishna, the fourth verse is Hare Hare, the fifth verse is Hare Rama, the sixth verse is Hare Rama, the seventh verse is Rama Rama, and the eighth verse is Hare Hare. So that those 8 verses are the embodiment of the holy name itself. And Lord Chaitanya is so amazing. Of course, we know that. Everyone knows how amazing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. But when you start to really analyze some of the amazing things that he says and does, you can really get an understanding of how amazing he is. And I'll bring out one amazing point. Probably some of you know this, maybe some of you don't. But this is interesting. The first verse of the Sukshastakam prayers describes 7 of the main philosophical principles that are the benedictions of the practice of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Cheto Garpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavadi Nirvapanam. You can chant it with me if you like. Sreya Kaiva Chandrika Vikaranam Vidha Vibhu Jivanam Anandam Bhuri Vardhanam Patipadam Puram Rita Swardhanam Sarvatma Snaparam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Sri Krishna Sankirtan. San means together, and kirtan means to glorify. Kirtan comes from the word kirti. Kirti means fame. To glorify the Lord means to spread the fame of the Lord. But San, and this, in the context of kirtan, has another meaning. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that San means together. Complete. Complete. There's no more complete and perfect way to glorify the Lord by chanting the holy name. Just like the perfect language is Sanskrit. So that is called Sanskrit, the perfect script, or the complete script. So San in this case also means there is no more better and complete and perfect way than to glorify the Lord than chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Cheto Darpana Marjanam, listen to this. Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Rama Mahadevatiya Bhapa Nam, Shreya Kaiva Vichendrika Vikara Nam Vidha Vidhu Jiva Nam Anandam Vudhi Varga Nam Pati Padam Purnam Vita Swarta Nam Sarvatma Stapa Nam Param Nam Vijayate Si Krishna Sankirtanam. Amazing. Each of the benedictions ends with the suffix Nam, which means name. Lord Chaitanya, amazing. No mortal being could do that. Perfect. So what are the 7 big benedictions? Cleanses the mind, pushes back the fire of material existence, awakens one's good fortune, is the life of transcendental knowledge, it is the ocean of transcendental happiness, it gives one newer and newer realizations of one's relationship with Krishna at every step of the practice. And there's nothing else needed. Sarvatmasnapanam. It's a complete bath. Inside, outside. Your whole life is purified. Your home, your family, your car, your computer, your toothbrush. Everything becomes purified simply by the whole name. There's nothing else you need to for purification. It is the complete cow dung. You don't have to cow dung your house. It's all, everything is there. It is complete. And all glories, when you chant it in English, all glories to the holy name of the Lord. And then the seven benedictions are mentioned. But when you chant it the other way, you mention the seven benedictions. And then what is that? What is this? What are we talking about? Sri Krishna's Sankirtan. So it's like a great symphonic orchestra. Dun 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 dun. Sri Krishna Sankirtan ki. It's like, what else can you understand about the glories of the Lord? It's complete, perfect. Everything is there. But then, after hearing all the benedictions, what does Lord Chaitanya says? No rules, no regulations, no restrictions, many names. But then he ends the second verse, Durdaivam. I'm unfortunate. Durdaivam means unfortunate. Why am I unfortunate? He's playing the role of a conditioned soul. And he's explaining his unfortunate is that he commits offense. And therefore, because of that offense, you cannot taste the benedictions in the first verse. So, but he gives the formula. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the formula. How to approach the holy name. Lord Chaitanya gives it, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives another interesting aspect. Lord Chaitanya says, once you approach the holy name in the proper way, Trinadapi sunichena tayor iva sahishnina amaninam amanadena kirtaniya sadarahi. Sada means always, Hari means to glorify the Lord. So by cultivating these qualities in connection to the process of chanting Hare Krishna, humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect for others, four qualities. Now, this verse, we can give a seminar on that verse alone. It's so full of transcendental philosophy and meaning that just to mention it is actually somewhat, it's like mentioning something great and not really explaining it. It's such a wonder. It's the most amazing verse because even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, take this verse of Trinadapi Sunichena and string it on the necklace of the holy name and wear it as your ornament. He says, this is the only way you can approach the holy name. With humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect for other living beings. Now these things don't come by way of desire, they come by way of practice. Someone has to practice this process very carefully and cultivate this mood of devotion in relationship to the practice of Krishna consciousness, in relationship to the chanting of the holy names, both, especially the holy names. Because that, by cultivating that mood of Krishna consciousness, one remains steady in their practice of devotional service. And by remaining steady, one can taste the happiness that comes by way of chanting Hare Krishna. So this verse is so important because it allows us to approach Krishna's name. There's no other way. So it's not that you have to fully develop these qualities, but you have to fully practice them. That's what it is. If you're practicing, that practice is as good as achievement. Because bhakti works in that way. Bhakti works on desire and activity. Achievement comes in due course of time. So cultivation of the right mood in the day-to-day practice brings about the results in due course of time. But if we don't practice, then it doesn't develop, it doesn't come. So one has to practice these qualities. Now Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur also says something else in relationship to this Durdaivam. I want the mercy of the holy name. The glories of the holy name are full. The scriptures are so, what we say, saturated with such mercy and benedictions and glorifications of the holy name. But I can't get it. What do I need to do to get it? I'm trying my best. Where do I put my attention? Here's the point. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, place your attention on attentive chanting. He says, by cultivating this mood of attentive chanting, you can awaken the happiness that comes by way of the practice of the holy name. So work on that. And we'll be explaining that. I'm scheduled to give another talk, if you can tolerate me, one more time. It's not so bad. Krishna consciousness is austerity, so part of your austerity is you have to tolerate my classes. No, it's not. Toleration. So in that second presentation, we'll speak about some of the mindsets that we should have when we're chanting the holy name, how to approach the holy name. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, cultivate this mood of attention. Cultivate the mood of attention. It's so important. Okay, there's so much on the holy name. Any questions? We'll see if there's any questions right now. And you may ask whatever you would like to ask in relationship to the holy name. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for this meeting.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, can a desire to, strong desire to progress spiritually be an obstacle to experience the holy name?
No. If it's done in the right consciousness. One cannot accelerate their progress artificially. But you can accelerate it, but not in an artificial way. So if you really want to make progress and you want to accelerate the progress, then one has to practice in the right mood those things that help to accelerate it. And there are two things that really accelerate our practice, and that is attentive chanting and serving Vaishnavas. By doing these, by focusing on service to the Vaishnavas, and by chanting the holy names, one can make faster progress. Because these two things Lord Chaitanya emphasized, serving Vaishnavas and chanting. And actually, you know, you can't separate these two. If you're not serving Vaishnavas and you're trying to chant the holy name, you're not really going to move forward at all, hardly. Because to serve Krishna is very difficult, but to serve and to please Krishna means pleasing his devotees. And through serving his devotees and pleasing his devotees, we get the mercy of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya focused on these two things. Now, we might have noticed there's a third thing that helps to accelerate it, and that is to preach. And it's just as equally as important. To be an instrument to give the mercy of the holy name to others. By helping others become Krishna conscious in whatever way you're inclined to do it. You may do it in different ways. But that consciousness of wanting to spread Krishna consciousness is so much an integral part to our, of our spiritual advancement. Why? Because our movement is designed like that. This is a preaching movement. It's not a chapati flipping, you know, sitting back and enjoying a video movement. It's a movement about, you know, getting out there and spreading the glories of the Lord's name to others. That's what it's about. Do it with your friends, do it with your family members. And that's where other religious institutions have somewhat lost steam in their, you know, in their progress, is that they have acquired large congregations and so on, collect money, have some ceremonies, put on some festivals, clean a river once in a while, feed a few hungry people, and think they've done something. But our movement is to, Lord Chaitanya wants everyone to become Krishna conscious. So we should take up that mood that he's so much developed to see how you can help others right there. So you can do that according to how you are inclined to do it. So that's the fast track. Focus on these things. But in the right consciousness. It's done in the right mood and it's done. Right consciousness means I'm an instrument for the Lord's mercy. I'm not like, I'm going to go out there and do it. Yes, I should try, but the power and the ability is coming by the way of the, I'm simply their instrument. So that's the right thing. Yes, is there any other comments or questions? Good job, buddy. Okay.
Maharaj, you said that one should do preaching. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, my name will be chanted in every town and every village. But at the same time, we also see Nityananda Prabhu, he was also qualified enough to start the Harinam Sankirtan movement, but he waited for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction and then he started.
So you got the instruction already, don't worry. It's already been given. You don't have to wait. It's been given. It's been given many times. And Prabhupada said, preach.
So it's nothing wrong, like, if we start...
You want Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come personally and talk to you and tell you that?
No, Maharaj, my question was then, is it okay if somebody is inspired enough and he goes out and he starts some preaching, some towns, without any permission from maybe the spiritual master?
You should consult your spiritual master and to see how best to do it. That's only to take advice in terms of how to approach it. But that order is there. The Prabhupada really encouraged that so much. It's like, I'll give you an example. It's a little bit of the history of Chicago Temple. Many years ago, the position of temple president was, we might use a word, up for grabs. And in those days, people wanted it. Nowadays, nobody wants temple president. In those days, everybody wanted it. Because it meant facility, power, association with Prabhupada, and so many things. It had a lot of booms to it. So three devotees in the Chicago temple wanted to become president. And they were all qualified. And so one of them got it. And the other two went out and started their own temples. That's how much they wanted to become president. They went out and did their own thing. And Prabhupada was really happy. So. And he used to do that. He sent their persons to different parts of the world. And said, go out there with some books and some cartels and just preach. And people will come. But practically speaking, it's always good to get advice on how best to do things so you know what to avoid and what to focus on.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Sridevi, you had a question? She's right there.
Guru Maharaj, If I may clarify some doubt, we say always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna.
Mm.
But at the same time, when we are chanting the holy name, we want to beg for the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya because they are the most merciful. But at the same time, we say always think of Krishna. So
if you're thinking of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, you're thinking of Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj.
In fact, it's better. You'll get more mercy that way. No doubt. Yes, there was a question somewhere in the back. Oh, what did you hear? To your left.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is about, as a neophyte devotee, should we focus more on the quality or the quantity? Because when you're focusing on the quality and not go for the quantity, what should be?
My understanding is quantity helps to bring quality. If you think I'll just chant one round qualitatively and that's enough, you may not chant qualitatively. And even if you do, the instructions of the spiritual master say we should chant more. So, quantity helps to bring about quality. That's why we do these accelerated programs such as this weekend, so we can help develop quality in our chanting. But both are important. Both are important. I can't say one is. Quality is what we're trying to achieve, yes. But if you actually have quality, you know what'll happen? You want to chant more. Right? Prabhupada said, when you're actually chanting Hare Krishna, you will think 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? That's what he said. The quality is so, quality, that you just want to chant more. So quality doesn't stop you from quantity. So both are, when you start, you practice quantity to develop quality, and then you'll develop quantity. One more. Yes? Pranahari, does that make sense?
Without some quality, like
changing quantity. Yeah, really.
It's like one, it's sitting with like this one or the other, but if there's no quality, how are we going to change?
Yeah, you just think, why don't we do something else? Yeah, that's true. Very good point. Anyone else? Questions? Yes. Hold the mic up.
A number of times the process becomes quite mechanical. That means like our fingers are moving, beads are moving, and sometimes we are focusing on the holy name, but often the mind is wandering here and there. So how to control
How to avoid mechanical chanting? It can become mechanical when you don't know when you allow it to be. Mechanical really means, it's called niyamagraha. It means, okay, I got to do it. 16 rounds. Here we go, Guru. Here I go, Krishna. All right, Krishna. Give me your mercy. 16 rounds. Oh, my God. Ooh, so hard. Okay, that's mechanical chanting. Chanting to get your rounds done. Chanting as a duty. That's all mechanical. Chant to meet Krishna in his name. That's why you chant. So when you find yourself slipping into that inattention that causes one to become mechanical, just, again, bring that mind back to the sound. We'll explain that there are certain keys certain essential keys that you can use to avoid mechanical chanting. I'll give you one key now, which maybe you might like this. Chant one mantra at a time, that's all. That's all. Don't think of the next mantra. Don't think of the round. Don't think of 16 rounds. Just think of that one mantra, that's all. Then when you finish that mantra, chant the next one. And when you finish that one, chant the next one. The mind has a tendency to race ahead. It's always, you're on Hare Krishna, it's on Hare Rama. That's the mind. So slow it down and focus on the sound. In other words, just hear one mantra. That's all. We'll explain this in detail tomorrow. But this is something that is very helpful. That learn to hear. As we practice the hearing process more, then the mind becomes more focused. And when you start hearing, it becomes the mechanical aspect starts to leave you, and it's gone. Okay. You have to hear. Any other questions? If you want to know what that was Lord Vishnudev leaving. That was my deity of Lakshmi Vishnu going on to the altar. Okay, any other questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, when we are chanting in the temple, mm-hmm. for example, in front of Sri Kishore Kishore, mm-hmm. are there any instructions in terms of, I find myself closing my eyes when chanting, are there instructions that we should not close the eyes when chanting in front of deities?
Well, no.
Or we should be looking at them and not closing our eyes.
When you close your eyes, you know what happens?
Focus more.
Two things can happen. One, the first thing that happens is the mind becomes more active and thoughts start to stream in like never before. And the second thing is that, if there's a slight tiredness, you're going to increase it. So you have to avoid that. I was discussing this with different devotees, and there's different conclusions. But half eyes, I think, is the best. The yogis, you ever see a yogi? Their eyes are not closed, they're open. They're in a half eye thing. They're not seeing anything, but their eyes are open. You know how to do that. You just keep your eyes focused on the deities like that, or around you. You're not looking around, but your eyes are not closed. That way you're not falling asleep, and at the same time you're not getting distracted by the external environment. That, I think, is at least the best of what is available. That helps as far as the technique is concerned, like that. You may close your eyes once in a while just to like maybe focus on one mantra or two. But if you stay there, you're going to find it's going to be hard to chant attentively. Thank you. Okay, so anyone else? Any other questions? What are we doing on time here? We still have 15 minutes. Let's see, what else can we speak about? There's a beautiful verse from, it's one of my favorite verses. It's called from the Kali Santara Upanishads. Iti Sodasakam Nama Kali Kama Sanyasana Mata Parati Upayo Sarva Veda Sudrishyate. I'll read the actual translation, so just to do it justice. I have it here. I'm not sure where it is. And added. Yes. After searching through all Vedic literature, one cannot find a method of religion more sublime for this age than chanting Hare Krishna. And the first part of the verse is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sometimes people say, well, where in the scriptures is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra mentioned? This verse includes the mantra. So, the Upanishads support all Vedic conclusions. The Upanishads are really one of the essence of Vedic knowledge, because they establish the principles that govern the religious practice in this age. So when you quote Upanishads, you're actually quoting great authorities. So this is from the Kali Santara Upanishads. There are 108 Upanishads, and there are 12, let me say, primary Upanishads. I'm not sure Kali Santara is one of the primary Upanishads. I think it's way up there. But here's a verse. People ask us, well, where in the scriptures does it say to chant Hare Krishna? This verse is there. So, Krishna says in Gita, Vidaishtacham aham eva vedo, Vedantakrit vedadit eva chaham, that I am the compiler of the Vedas, I am the knower of the Vedas, and the Vedas are meant to know me. So, knowing the Vedas means knowing Krishna, or knowing the purpose of the Vedas means knowing Krishna. And what is the way to know Krishna in this age, or to approach Krishna in this age? Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. Any last questions before we end here? Thank you very much. Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Om.
Chandramouli Maharaj Ki Jai.